Well, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in this evening. And thanks to Jeff Farias, who sat in for us last night. We went to the Roger Waters World Tour. It is the 35th anniversary of the album Dark Side of the Moon, if you can believe that. Oh, my God. Talk about feeling old now. Whew. But if you get a chance, this tour is going all over the planet. It's been out for several months now. If you get a chance, I strongly recommend, if you're a Pink Floyd fan, don't miss this one. Program note here, last week we made kind of an attempt without really, I don't know how, I wasn't completely aware of the clock, but we made an attempt to read a series of essays that are in the current issue of Harper's Magazine, Undoing Bush, How to Repair 8 Years of Sabotage, Bungling, and Neglect. And there are about 11 essays in here. They're certainly worth reading, but my producer here informs me that there's just no way we can do this effectively because the essays are longer than the longest each essay is longer than the longest segment of the program before we have to go to commercial break. So we're going to pass on it. But I strongly recommend you can go to harpersmagazine.com, I'm sure, and read them yourself, okay? Yeah, we're going to get to the Democrats in the House and the Senate, what they did yesterday. I'm ready. I'm ready to abandon totally the Democratic Party. I know I've said this before, and I feel like, the boy who cried wolf, but this is just an outrage. Strategy be damned. We'll get to it in a couple of minutes. A couple of quick items here. I want to say congratulations to Dick Cheney and his wife, the porno authoress. Congratulations, because today the birth of their new granddaughter, a grandson, was announced. This is the daughter produced from the union of their daughter and their daughter's partner, another woman, and It would be so nice if there wasn't just waves of hypocrisy involved in this. Cheney and his wife sat there holding their new grandson with just a look of utter, absolute, beatific joy over their faces, which they should do. What a precious little baby. This is a baby, right? And his lesbian daughter and her partner are overwhelmed with joy, as they should be. This is a birth of another child. This is a joyous occasion for everybody involved. Too bad, isn't it, that the same kind of joy, the same kind of glow is not acceptable to these freaks when other gay or lesbian couples do the same thing? This is where it drives me to the brink of madness. Cheney and his wife can be so proud of their grandbaby, but they work for an organization, a criminal enterprise, the Republican Party and the religious right, that would do everything in its power to deny gay and lesbian couples the right to experience the same joy that Cheney and his old lady are experiencing today. This is just an outrage. This is like the divine right of kings. We can do it, but you can't. Oh, well. Mitt Romney, our good friend Ski Anderson in Indiana sent this to me. Here's a press release from May 18th, 5 days ago? Clear Channel Communications Incorporated today announced that it has entered into a second amendment to its previously announced merger agreement with a private equity group co-led by Thomas H. Lee Partners LP and Bain, B-A-I-N, Capital Partners LLC. Oh, okay. And who runs Bain Capital Partners LLC? Mitt Romney is the founder and CEO of Bain Capital Incorporated, a private holding company with portfolio company revenues in excess of $13 billion. Organized in 1984, Bain Capital has acquired or started over 120 companies, including Staples, Domino's Pizza, Brookstone, Totes, FTD Floors, and the Sealy Corporation. Yada, yada, yada. Clear Channel Communications, which owns or manages, 1,100, 1,200, 1,500, a million radio stations in the United States, has entered into an agreement with a second private equity group, Bain Capital Partners, LLC, whose chairman, founder, and CEO is Mitt Romney. Doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't mean anything. Couldn't. Al Gore has a new book out, The Assault on Reason. In that book, Gore wrote, among other things, that Bush's efforts to connect Iraq to 9/11 were an example of this administration's, quote, willful deception of the public, end quote. In other words, he's a lying son of a bitch. Here's what it says in Gore's book. Quote, when the administration is told specifically and repeatedly by the most authoritative sources that there is no linkage, but then, in spite of the best evidence, continues to make bold and confident assertions to the American people that lead the impression with 70% of the country that Saddam was linked to Al-Qaeda and was primarily responsible for the 9/11 attack, this can only be labeled deception. Page 108, Gore's new book. I would just disagree. I hate weasel words. Why doesn't Al Gore come out and say he's a lying bastard son of a bitch who's cost the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people? Why hasn't he done that? Is he afraid, Al Gore, whom I will vote for, just run, Al, but is he afraid that some reference would be made to the Clinton administration's insistence on being partners in the murder of a million Iraqis during a time when there was no active shooting? That was the entire 90s. I don't hold Al Gore responsible for that, but is that why he held back? This is not a deception, Al. It's a lie. This afternoon, White House Press Secretary Tony Snow took issue with that passage. Snow said, Bush has never tried to make the connection between Iraq and 9/11. That's what Tony Snow said. He said that. Here's a man standing there whose time on this earth is severely limited, and he insists on lying. Snow went on to say, quote, and what Gore is doing, it's been tried by a lot of other people, which is to take something the president hasn't said, expose it as a, quote, a lie, and then beat him up for it. The president's been straight about the intelligence, end quote. Tony, you should be making peace with whatever you consider to be your creator or the energy that puts you here. You can't tell lies like this when death is staring you in the face, my friend. You can't do it. Unless you're a total atheist like I am. Al Gore snapped back by saying, he responded to Snow's attack by saying, quote, unlike the president's State of the Union address, this book was actually fact-checked, end quote. Come on, Tony, get real. Two words for you, pal. Lee Atwater. Man. Tony, don't you remember when you claimed that Bush and Cheney and nobody had ever said stay the course? Don't you remember that, Tony? Come on. Lee Atwater was dying in his own brain tumor when he begged people to forgive him for the poison he had injected, the lies and the deception into our political system. Come on, Tony. Don't go down that path. Don't. Never mind. ABC News is reporting that the U.S. has opened a new front in its so-called showdown with Iran. I love that. We have a showdown with Iran because we insist on butting into their internal affairs, how they generate energy, whether or not they want nuclear weapons. We told India, go ahead, we'll help you. We gave them to Pakistan. We made sure, Cheney made sure that North Korea, or I'm sorry, that was Rumsfeld that made sure that North Korea had the wherewithal to develop nuclear weapons. But for some reason, Iran is just a real bug on these people's ass, isn't it? It's like a huge horsefly that's just biting at them. So what have we decided to do? I'll tell you when we come back from the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Use the term stay the course.
There to stay the course.
Stay the course.
We're going to stay the course. Have the nerve to stay the course if we stay the course.
And hence the clarification.
We're there to stay the course.
We stay the course.
We will stay the course.
And we've never been stay the course.
8 times.
We're there to stay the course.
Stay the course and help them succeed.
We stay the course.
Stay the course.
We'll stay the course.
Stay the course.
We're going to stay the course.
We must stay the course.
Stay the course.
We stay the course.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers, it'll be our secret.
Care if it rains or freezes, long as I've got my plastic Jesus riding on the dashboard on my car.
21 past the hour. So, as I was saying before, rudely interrupted by the commercial break, ABC News is reporting that the U.S. has opened a new front in its so-called showdown with Iran. According to the report, Bush has ordered the CIA to carry out covert operations both inside and outside Iran, quote, aimed directly at weakening the Iranian regime, end quote. Imagine if the Iranians tried to do this to us. Oh, my God. Brian Ross, ABC's investigative reporter, said the CIA's program had received, quote, secret presidential approval, end quote. Officials told ABC the CIA plan, quote, takes the place of proposed U.S. military action against Iran reportedly advocated by Vice President Cheney, end quote. How much longer do we have to put up with these bastards in office, huh? How much longer? Brian Ross reports, quote, the sources who spoke on condition of anonymity because of the sensitive nature of the subject, yeah, destabilizing and overthrowing another company's government. Oh, wow. They say President Bush has signed a, quote, non-lethal presidential finding, end quote. Oh, well, that's real important. Yeah. Well, that means there won't be any hurt involved. No killing, no beating up, no stamping, no stomping, no pulling hair, no scratching. It's a non-lethal presidential, no waterboarding. Oh, we're all going to abide by that, aren't we? Oh, sure we are. And it says it puts into motion a CIA plan that reportedly includes a coordinated campaign of propaganda, disinformation, manipulation of Iran's currency, and screwing with their international financial transactions. How about that? Well, that's certainly non-lethal. I guess that's okay. All right. The report on ABC went on to say Vice President Cheney helped to lead the side favoring a military strike, according to a former CIA official. But I think, he said, they have come to the conclusion that a military strike has more downsides than upsides. End quote. Oh, really? Well, so what? That doesn't mean squat to these rat bastards. Did someone not tell them that about Iraq? Or Afghanistan? Okay, well, word is out now of this new U.S. directive, so let's look for some Iranian retaliation and then a nice cycle of escalation that will follow. And the next thing you know, the 250,000 troops that we are going to have in Iraq by the end of this year will then have a second front that they can focus on, and that will be up against about a 3 million man the 3 million man Iranian army. And the Iranian army is not made up of people like Saddam Hussein's Iraqi Republican Guard. Trust me on that one. They want to kill us all, they being the Bush crime family. They want everyone to die except them and theirs. Remember when the United Nations was irrelevant where it concerned Iraq? In the Guardian of the UK, now it's reported that Bush may turn to the UN in search of an Iraq solution. Huh? How about that? According to the Guardian, the Bush administration is developing plans to, quote, internationalize, end quote, the Iraq crisis, including an expanded role for the UN as a way of reducing overall U.S. responsibility for Iraq's future and limiting domestic political fallout, that's here, from the war as the 2008 election season approaches. Oh, okay. We certainly don't want anything to interfere with the re-election of Republican rat bastards to the Congress, do we? We certainly don't want to interfere with the chance that Mitt Romney or Rudy Giuliani could become president, right? So let's turn the Iraq war, you know, on the surface anyway, over to the UN. Jesus God. The move comes amid rising concern in Washington that President George Bush's controversial Baghdad security surge, led by the U.S. Commander General David Petraeus, is not working. A former Bush senior administration official who questioned whether Iraq's divided political leadership could prevent a descent into chaos said, quote, Petraeus is brilliant, but he is the captain of a sinking ship. Iraq's government is a mobile phone number that doesn't answer. Iraq can't be fixed, end quote. Now you know why they need a war czar, right? The former official, who I just quoted, who is familiar with administration thinking, predicted Mr. Bush would instead ask Congress to agree to a six-month extension of the surge after Petraeus presents his progress report in early September. Guess what the six-month extension of the surge is going to consist of, boys and girls?
Knew that the farther we got away from September the 11th, the more likely it would be that I would continue to have to convince people. We live in a dangerous world, and we do.
Because of you? Of course. So the plan, when the latest fall guy, David Petraeus, when he makes his announcement this September that, we're right on the verge of success, Mr. President. We could do it if we just had another 80,000 troops. While insisting that no decision had yet been taken on such an idea, the Pentagon announced last week that 35,000 soldiers from 10 Army brigades have been told they could expect to be deployed to Iraq by the end of the year. That would enable the U.S. to maintain heightened troop levels of about 160,000 soldiers through to next spring. But according to an analysis published by Hearst Newspapers yesterday, the number of combat troops could almost double to 98,000. That's extra soldiers by the end of the year if arriving and departing combat brigades overlap. By the same calculation, the overall total, including support troops, could top 200,000. It's going to happen. You know it is. This is why, once again, I'm ready to burn my Democratic Party membership card. No, no, I don't have one, but I'm talking figuratively speaking. I've just about had enough. God, that sounds so, doesn't that sound so weak-kneed? Oh, Jesus, Malloy, you've been saying that for 5 years, yeah? 200,000 troops by the end of the year. Now, as Think Progress reported, while Bush proudly trumpeted the first escalation in January with a nationally televised address, he is reportedly keeping this one under wraps, not addressing it in any major public medium. Retired Army Major General William Nash says, quote, "It doesn't surprise me that they're not talking about it. I think they would be very happy not to have any more attention paid to this," end quote. Now the Democrats. It's all over the place. You can go to Think Progress. You can go to Raw Story. You can go to the Washington Post. You can go to the New York Times. You can go any place you want to go. Let's start with thinkprogress.org. Congressional Democrats relented today on their insistence that a war, this is yesterday, that a war spending measure sought by President Bush also set a date for withdrawing troops from Iraq. The decision to back down was a wrenching reversal for some Democrats who saw their election triumph as a call to force an end to the war. Harry Reid of Nevada, the Senate Majority Leader, said, quote, "We don't have a veto-proof Congress," end quote. Representative Steny Hoyer of Maryland, the House Democratic Majority Leader, said the new bill was still being assembled, but he acknowledged the political reality facing Democrats. "The president has made it very clear that he is not going to sign timelines. We can't pass timelines over his veto." So who do we turn to? Do you have any ideas, Truth Seeker? The Associated Press notes, quote, "Reid and other Democrats pointed to a provision that would set standards for the Iraqi government in developing a more democratic society." Oh, that's what they're going to put into the bill. Benchmarks. You know where those benchmarks came from? That's right, the Republican Party. Let's put a bunch of nonsensical bull feathers in here. Okay, we're not going to have a timeline. Here's what we'll do. We're going to set standards for the Iraqi government, and they've got to develop a new democratic society, and U.S. reconstruction aid will be conditional on progress toward meeting that goal. You're not going to get any more reconstruction aid because it's been used so wonderfully already, hasn't it, Iraq? But Bush would still have the authority, you see, to order the money to be spent regardless of how the government in Baghdad performs. There is no government in Baghdad. It doesn't exist. There's no there there. Like the unnamed former Bush official said, the government in Iraq is a mobile phone number that doesn't answer. Russ Feingold, Democrat, Wisconsin, senator, releases a statement, quote, "I cannot support a bill that contains nothing more than toothless benchmarks and that allows the president to continue what may be the greatest foreign policy blunder in our nation's history. There has been a lot of tough talk from members of Congress about wanting to end this war, but it looks like the desire for political comfort won out over real action," end quote. And Speaker Nancy Pelosi will reportedly oppose the funding bill. It will split the Democratic Party caucus in half, with as many as 120 Democrats voting no. Among the nays will be House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who will have negotiated a bill that she thinks is the best option for House Democrats, but which she personally can't support. It's madness. It's madness. I don't know. I'm really sickened by this, aren't you? Aren't you sickened by this? The Pentagon, Department of Defense, is studying the possibility, this according to Raw Story, and you can find it there, rawstory.com. The Department of Defense is studying the possibility of maintaining a core group of forces in Iraq possibly for decades, reports National Public Radio. General Peter Pace, chairman of the Joint Chiefs, told the Senate when asked if the Pentagon had any contingency plans in place for Iraq troop withdrawal, quote, "We have published no orders directing the planning for the overall withdrawal of forces," end quote. Quote, "We do have ongoing replacement of forces, and we do change the size of the force over time so that the system is available to either plus up or draw down, but we have published no orders saying come up with a complete plan for total withdrawal down." Blah, 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 blah. Our scenario, quote, "includes a series of military installations that could be maintained around Iraq with a total force of 30 to 40,000 U.S. troops for a long period of time, maybe a few decades." Okay, what do you want to do, truth seekers? What do you want to do? Huh? What do you want to do? What do you want to do, really? What would you like to do? What would you like to do? What do we do? You, you Democrats. Washington Post. Democrats gave up their demand for troop withdrawal deadlines in Iraq war spending package yesterday, abandoning their top goal of bringing U.S. troops home and handing President Bush a victory in a debate that has roiled Congress for months. Bush, who has already vetoed one spending bill with troop timeline, had threatened to do the same with the next version if it came to such a condition. Democratic leaders had moved ahead anyway under heavy pressure from liberals, who believed that the party won control of Congress in November on the strength of anti-war sentiment. But in the end, Democrats said, "We don't have enough votes to override a presidential veto." The spending package, expected to total $120 billion when the final version is released today, would require Bush to surrender virtually none of his war authority. Democrats were working to secure two other priorities that the president had previously resisted: an increase in the minimum wage and funding for domestic programs, including veterans benefits, Hurricane Katrina relief, and agricultural aid. Instead of sticking with troop withdrawal dates, Democrats accepted a Republican plan to establish 18 political and legislative benchmarks for the Iraqi government, with periodic reports from Bush on its progress, starting in late July. And if the Iraqis fall short, why, they could forfeit U.S. reconstruction aid. Oh, no! This is astonishing. Pelosi and Reid worked through yesterday evening to hammer out a final agreement, consulting regularly with Republican leaders and the White House. The package is expected to come before the House and the Senate tomorrow and to be sent to Bush no later than Friday. Before members of Congress leave for a Memorial Day recess, Reid called the benchmark language extremely weak, but he noted that Bush had initially demanded a bill with no strings attached on Iraq. "For heaven's sake, look where we've come," Senator Reid said. "It's a lot more than the president ever expected he'd have to agree to." Republicans remained united throughout the debate, despite strong public opposition to the war and growing internal doubts that a military victory in Iraq is even possible. Son of a bitch. Unbelievable.
That Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
about 10 before the hour. John in Oakland sends me an email, subject line, how to lose with a straight flush. It says, Mike, if politics were a poker game, I would definitely not be backing the Democrats. They came to the table after last November holding the cards, allowed the Bush administration to bluff them with a hand of only the right-wing noise machine, and folded. If Nancy Pelosi is going to allow the Republican light Rahm Emanuel to push her around, maybe she should just resign the speakership. John in Oakland. And this is from Mike in Reynoldsburg, Ohio, who writes, I'm getting sick of the Democrats' endless list of excuses why they can't do things. They won't stop funding the war, and they are afraid of impeachment. I've had it. And you can bet I'm not alone. Is it any wonder that their approval ratings are similar to that of the Republican-controlled Congress when they were ousted? The Dems were voted in to change things and be tough. The first few weeks was a nice show, but that's all it was, a show. If this attorney scandal didn't fall in their laps, and if it weren't for but a few, very few, good people such as Henry Waxman, nothing would be happening. Sending the funding bill to the president with a date, if he vetoes it, it's simple. He gets no funding. Better yet, send no bill and stop funding the war. What is going to happen this fall when we find out that the surge didn't work? I'll tell you what, many politicians will insist it was because the surge was too soft. Don't think that they will give up on the war at that point. Just like Vietnam, they will suggest that this time we have to surge big time. And we'll say we need 100,000 or likely more additional troops to make it really work. And then he writes some more, and then he closes with, it's so sad that the Democratic Party is acting invincible. The Democrats were voted in 2006 to change course. Now, because of their arrogance and inaction, they can just as easily be voted out in 2008. Voters have a short-term memory, and what matters is not what is happening now, but what is happening next summer and fall, and more importantly, who has the better campaign machine. Mike in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. No, I didn't read all of it, Mike, but thanks for writing. And then this one from Sharon in Camano Island, Washington. Dear Mike, maybe you can clear this up for me. Whenever I hear President Bush or other war supporters like McCain say, quote, if we leave Iraq, the terrorists will follow us here, end quote. I wonder how would they do that? Would they come on American Airlines? If so, if it takes them as long as it's taking us to get passports, perhaps they give up. Would big numbers of them get visas as easily as the 9/11 hijackers did? Would they somehow come by unseaworthy boats like those from Cuba or sneak in or get to Mexico and try the border? In any case, their numbers might dwindle by the time they really get here. One thing we do know, thanks to the NRA, they'd be able to get any type of assault weapons once they are in the U.S. And just how many would follow us here to fight in the streets? Hopefully our National Guard would be home and repaired by them, which leads us to this question. How many terrorists do we have to kill over there before we can bring our troops home? How do we know when they're gone? Gosh, it seems that for every number two terrorist we get, two more pop up. By the way, how many of them have we killed? Out of the thousands of Iraqi dead, how many were terrorists? I'm a bit confused. Oh, I know. They could get into the 95% of containers that come through our ports and are never inspected. But that would mean bypassing Iraq. Oh, no. Now I'm really confused. Help. Sharon. Camano Island, Washington. I share your frustration, Sharon. And then we have the Monica Goodling scandal. Did you hear any of it today? We listened to a little bit. A 33-year-old airhead, no offense to airheads in general, or certainly not to 33-year-olds, a graduate from God condemn his soul, but Pat Robertson's university, his fake university, where they teach no science, no hard science, because if you teach hard science of any sort, you have to acknowledge evolution, or you have to acknowledge a timeline of universe history that's longer than 6,000 years. But never mind. Monica Goodling sat there today. this little snot who sounded even more like a valley girl than too much cappuccino Perino. There she sat with her long blonde hair talking about her decisions and her conversations and her this and her that. What in the hell is going on? But she made it very clear, didn't she, that she broke the law and the White House broke the law. How many people have to testify, Miss Pelosi, Mr. Reed, that these son of a bitches are violating the law every single day they're in office and every single day they've been in office until you two get some goddamn backbone and remove them? We're talking about the Justice Department, for God's sake! The Justice Department! Son of a bitch!
We don't have two-thirds votes to override his veto. So, we're just going to go ahead and fund the war. I don't like it. I just don't like funding this darn old war. But, you know, I'm a Democratic Party leader. So, that means my ass is just as weak as they come. So, we're just going to have... I don't know what to do.
My God. Okay, Two Seekers, when we come back, the scandal du jour, Monica, another Monica, Monica Goodling's testimony today, and then your phone calls, and we're going to do it that way tonight so I don't blow an artery, okay? Okay. Welcome back. 6:30 past the hour. There's a little bit more on this Democrats turning tail and running from the Republican. The Republican Party is obviously just sitting back, ironclad. So they get a couple of people defect once in a while. It means nothing. They watch the Democratic Party leadership just flounder around in apparently totally incapable hands of Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi. I'm sorry, what other conclusion you want to come to? All right, you're a supporter of Reid, you're a supporter of Democratic Party, you're a supporter of Nancy Pelosi. You tell me. Send me an email. What's the grand plan here? Huh? Do you have any idea, Truth Seeker? Because I damn sure don't. Nothing. John Warner, the Republican senator from Virginia, who is older than time, is the one who crafted this so-called benchmark proposal with a group of moderate Republicans, as if there were such a thing, and Democrats, right? No, we're going to keep funding the war forever. But we'll put some benchmarks in. What are the benchmarks?
Well, the government of Iraq has to get the water turned on. That's number two. Number one, they have to sign over all their oil reserves to international companies owned by American and British oil corporations. Three, they have to turn the lights on.
Benchmarks. So apparently John Warner, who worked out the benchmark agreement, he said, quote, we're there to help you. He's talking to the Iraqis. We're there to help you so long as you, as a sovereign nation, pull your own weight and do your responsible job, end quote. This is what this decaying, rancid old son of a bitch said to the Iraqis.
We're here to help you, but as a sovereign nation, come on, you got to pull your own weight. Hello? Do your responsible job. Don't pay any attention to the 300,000 troops and private contractors we have over there killing each other and killing you. Forget the Civil War. Forget what our invasion and occupation has done to your goddamn country. Just pull your own weight.
Oh. Okay, we thought it was more complicated than that.
No!
And I like what the Post says today. The Post writer in the Washington Post. From the outset of the battle on spending, Democratic leaders knew that their options would be limited by the party's slim majorities in both chambers. In the 51-49 Senate, Tim Johnson, South Dakota Democrat, was absent after a brain hemorrhage, while independent Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut, a member of the Democratic caucus, backed Bush on the war. Passage of the first spending bill was secured by a narrow 51-46 vote with support from two Republicans, Chuck Hagel of Nebraska and Gordon Smith of Oregon. Bush vetoed that bill on May 1st, singling out provisions that would have required troop withdrawals to begin later this year, while setting a goal of removing most U.S. combat forces by March 31st, 2008. Almost all Republicans, along with Lieberman and seven Democrats, backed John Warner's proposal last week in a symbolic Senate vote. In a meeting Friday with congressional leaders, White House Chief of Staff Joshua Bolton signaled that Bush would accept the terms laid out by John Warner. But Pelosi and Reid continued to press for a withdrawal timetable, even offering Bush a waiver option. Democrats said they would drop the domestic spending in the bill. All of it. We'll drop it all. Katrina. Increasing the minimum wage. Child health care. We'll drop it all. But when Josh Bolton declined that offer, Reid and Pelosi put the additional billions back on the table. Last night, negotiators said Democrats had dropped just three items from the first bill, including funding for a low-income heating program and fishing industry subsidies. Nancy Pelosi said, quote,
"This is another stage in the sequencing of ending this war, and September will be the moment of truth."
End quote. I'm exhausted. I mean, aren't you? Jesus, God. You know, the only time I have felt psychically whole in the past, 3 years has been when I'm playing with Molly or Kathy and I are discussing something not related to the political toilet in which we all now live, or last night at the Pink Floyd concert. Oh, I'm sorry. The Waters concert. I guess we don't call it Pink Floyd anymore. Email here from Pamela in Montana. Hi, Mike. Today, Dennis Kucinich spoke on the House floor for an hour with an arsenal of facts and history talking about the oil. It was an important speech. He, of course, spoke to an empty house. And it began right when the Monica hearing began, so most people didn't see it, or most importantly, didn't hear it, wondering if you caught any of it. It was great. The world just won't listen to the truth. No, Pamela, I didn't catch any of it. But the whole thing, I think, is up on his website, DennisKucinich.org. Kucinich.com. I don't know. You can find it. Claudia in Kentucky writes, regarding what has happened to Democrats, she writes, "I'm devastated. All day yesterday and today I've been considering what the Democrats in Congress could have been thinking to come up with such a lousy non-attempt to end the war funding. Here's what I hope happens next. Literally no one votes for this pathetic excuse of a first step in ending this war. No Democrats, no Republicans, no one. Wouldn't that be a kick in the pants? Of course, I know that's not going to happen because the Republicans are loving this piece of crap legislation. It gives them exactly what they want. Plus, they look incredibly powerful against a bunch of whimpering Democrats, and they get to keep their nightmare war indefinitely. I have just about lost faith in this democracy to even appear to be living up to its principles and legacy. Oh, Jesus, Claudia, I know. And then there was this little item that Dave just sent me. It's from the Dow Jones Wire Service. President Bush is likely to veto legislation that would create hefty fines and criminal penalties for gasoline price gouging, the White House said today. The threat came as the House prepared to vote on a Democratic plan aimed at battling rising gasoline prices by requiring the Federal Trade Commission to define price gouging. The bill would create fines and criminal penalties, including jail time, for industry executives found guilty of price gouging. The White House said the legislation amounted to price controls that would hinder oil companies from responding to market signals, potentially worsening fuel shortages. Gasoline price controls are an old and failed policy.
Some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on.
Bring them on. Why, amazingly, they did, you dumb son of a bitch, you murderous fake. They did bring it on, didn't they? Thanks to your invitation. It's astonishing. It's just astonishing. Oh, my God. Monica Goodling, the former White House groundling, changeling for the Justice Department, confirmed today during testimony that she used a political litmus test in screening applicants for hire as Justice Department employees in what appears to be a violation of numerous federal laws. So reports William Fisher at truthout.org. You ought to read the article by William Fisher, truthout.org. A violation of numerous federal laws. They don't care. Monica Goodling is a graduate of Pat Robertson's fake university. What does she know about law? What does she know about prosecuting attorneys? What does she know about impartial justice? She knows nothing.
Well, she knows that Jesus is her Lord and Savior, you son of a bitch. How dare you say she doesn't know anything, Mike Malloy?
Goodling said she never discussed firing attorneys with Rove or Myers. Goodling said she did not recommend additions to or deletions from the list of political appointees to be terminated.
She admitted she, quote, may have gone too far, end quote. I may have crossed the line. I crossed the line, but I didn't mean to. Jesus God, listen to that. I crossed a line, but I didn't mean to.
When asked if she crossed a line and broke the law,
I crossed a line. There was a line there, and I crossed it.
Oh, my God. In her testimony today, Ms. Goodling repeatedly portrayed herself as an implementer of policies crafted by more senior officials. She said she lacked the authority to carry out her own decisions and said her principal role was to make recommendations to others. Okay. Monica, did anyone ask you upon what basis did you make recommendations? Was it that the candidates believed in Jesus as their personal Savior? Was it that the candidates thought George W. Bush was Christ's soul brother? Was it that Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson were right, that the reason we were attacked on 9/11 is because God dropped his veil because of those goddamn feminists? Were those the questions you asked, Monica? In one case, she acknowledged delaying the appointment of a prosecutor, reportedly because the candidate was too, quote, liberal, end quote, for the non-political position. Non-political? Too liberal? If it's non-political, Monica, what the hell difference does it make if they're liberal or conservative or communists or snake handlers? It's supposed to be non-political, right? It just goes on and on and on, doesn't it? It doesn't stop. If the Democrats did nothing for the next 2 years but conduct hearings and investigations and turned over rocks, they would find crawly, slimy things like Monica Goodling squirreling around in every direction, running on their legs and then squeezing through little cracks in the rocks and little mud holes into the ground. That's what they would find. This government of George W. Bush is without a doubt the most corrupt and vile and evil in our history. This makes Richard Nixon's regime look like happy-go-lucky children having a Sunday in the park. This makes the sick bastard Ronald Reagan look like a brilliant man. This is the Bush crime family. Do you have any doubt yet that these people are the spawn of their pretend Satan? Every single investigation that comes along, we're talking here about the Department of Justice. You remember justice, huh? You remember the broad standing there with the scales in her hands and a blindfold on? Justice. Oh, my God. Was that the one Ashcroft wanted covered up because her boob was sticking out? Oh, my God. Folks, let me just make a heavy-duty statement. I don't know how much longer this program will be on the air or this network will be around. I really don't have any idea. I hope it's a long time. But we've lost it. We have lost. Do you have any doubt? I'm not. I'm telling you something you don't know? Mike Malloy has a newsflash. Water is wet, and when the wind blows, the leaves vibrate on the trees. Woo! Here's another one. We've lost democratic representative government in this country. Small d Democrat. Do you understand that? It's gone. The question is not if it's gone. The question is simply, can we get it back? At this point, you know what I say? No, it's gone. Now, the next question is, okay, how do we deal with that? Huh?
I want to live in a country that's safe, in a land that's clean and free. For every color and culture, every person, every belief. Your greed, your fear, and your lies ain't gonna push me around. I'm gonna use the power I have. I'm gonna vote you right out of that house, 'cause I am a patriot. We'll be right back.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
Six before the hour. I got an email here during the break, pretty specific in what to do about the loss of the very real loss. I mean, come on, are we going to keep kidding ourselves? Are we going to keep kidding ourselves? Maybe the loss is temporary. I don't know. I really don't know. I've never tried to come across in this program like I knew anything. Anyway, all I have is questions. But some of the suggestions you're coming in are pretty out there. And I don't mean that in a derogatory or way or in a condescending way or patronizing way. They're just out there, you know, what you folks are suggesting in your emails. Jesus. But one of the things that Tom suggests is talked about the ending the occupation of Iraq. That'll never occur until what happens to our soldiers happened to our soldiers in Vietnam, and that's when they finally had enough and said, this is insane. Of course, it took about 7 or 8 years to get there, and it took the deaths of 50,000 American soldiers, but eventually the soldiers started fragging their commanding officer, their lieutenants and their captains. They said, no, you know, we're not going to do it anymore. But the difference between then and now, first of all, we have a huge generational gap between the people who have been conscripted into this war. And don't tell me it's all volunteer. That's just absolute horse snot. Nobody who joined up thought that they would be fighting urban guerrilla warfare in downtown Baghdad. That's A. B, everything about this war has been based on a lie. So anybody that did join with the idea of defending American democracy and freedom was conned and lied to by these filthy, murderous sons of bitches in the Bush crime family. So it's a different kind of conscription. It's conscription by lies and deceit. But the other difference is, back in the 60s, the liars told us we were fighting global communism. We got to fight the commies in Vietnam, or we'll have to fight them in the streets of San Diego. Remember that? Now it's terrorism we're fighting. The war on terrorism. A tactic. A war on a tactic. And so many of the people who were inculcated with whatever suspension of reality is required to join Bush's army and go die in Iraq, whatever is necessary to get young people to do that includes the idea that they honestly feel they're fighting against global terrorism. As though... Oh, God. Email here says, don't shortchange Senator Reid on his compromise. He's also included a benchmark that will require Cablevision of Baghdad to carry Nickelodeon, the Family Channel, MTV2, and a couple of pay-per-view porn channels by the end of June. Also, funding will be added for waste management trucks to collect curbside garbage every other week. I don't know. So, Monica Goodling said she never discussed the firings of 8 U.S. attorneys with either White House pig Karl Rove or former White House pig counsel Harriet Myers. No, I didn't discuss nothing with nobody. The only thing she'd cop to today was She said she may have asked inappropriate political questions of applicants for civil service posts at the Department of Justice in an effort to implement the priorities of the Bush administration. Oh, okay. She also said the Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty, when he testified before Congress, that he lied. He lied. He lied. That's perjury. He goddamn lied. So why is he not being hauled into in front of the Senate together with the House and charged with contempt and perjury? Ms. Goodling also said McNulty urged her not to attend a private Senate briefing, saying that her status as White House liaison would raise questions among lawmakers about possible White House involvement in the dismissals. Goodling said, when she testified at the House Judiciary Committee today, "I believe the deputy was not fully candid about his knowledge of the White House's involvement." I think I said McNulty should be hauled before the Senate, before the House committee, and charged with perjury. What are they waiting for about that?
Well, we don't have 2/3 majority to override the veto.
That's a different issue.
Oh, why don't we haul McNulty in and charge him with perjury? Okay. Well, the reason we don't haul McNulty in and charge him with perjury is because that would set some sort of a bad thing, you know, precedent. And we're Democrats. We don't do stuff like that. But you know what? We're going to insist that Iraq have benchmarks.
My God. In turn, McNulty and Principal Associate Deputy Attorney General William Moshella, they have told lawmakers that both of them felt misled by Goodling. And Goodling, who resigned last month, worked with Kyle Sampson, then the Attorney General's Chief of Staff. And he don't know nothing about nothing. And the Attorney General, Bush's Tejano, Mr. Gonzalez, he knows nothing about nothing. I don't know. I don't remember. I have no recollection. I don't know. Sir, I have no idea. You know, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't remember. No, I don't know. What? No, I don't know. So Ms. Goodling believes the Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty was not fully candid. Don't you love the language? Monica, I know this is going to offend you because you're a graduate of a Christian university, but he's a goddamn liar. And you know he is, and so are you. And you know what's going to happen, Miss Goodling? Hellfire is waiting for you. Hellfire. You remember what you learned? Hellfire. Huge vats of burning sulfur with spiders, snakes, and scorpions waiting to bite you all over your naked body for all eternity while you burn and roast in hell because you lied
under oath. Oh, never mind. That sort of nonsense doesn't apply to true believers. They're exempt. They have a get-out-of-hell-free card.
See, because they're working for the greater good, which is the continuation of Jesus Christ's younger brother, George W. Bush, in his administration of truth, justice, and the American way, here at home to save all the white people, and overseas to make sure that those filthy, rotten, Satan-worshipping Muslims, or whatever they're called, don't have a free pass to come over here and eat our children. So Monica Goodling gets a pass from Jesus H. Christ and from God the Father. She can go before Congress and commit perjury, and it's okay. Because she's a graduate of Regent University with a degree in law. I have a degree in law. It's really sick, isn't it? Huh? Isn't it sick? Oh, well. All right, let's do some phone calls. let's see who's online here. And I think what we should do probably with the rest of the program is take some phone calls. But my producer lady keeps telling me we only have about 10 seconds here before we have to break. We'll take calls when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
He must despise all the what fors and whys, the way he lies and he lies and he lies. He lies and he lies and he lies. He just lies and he lies and he lies and he lies. He can lie any time, he can lie any place. He crosses his fingers and keeps a straight face. He lies and he lies and he lies. Too many believe him, they're bleating like sheep. Accomplices now in the liar's deceit. He lies and he lies and he lies. Lies.
Nighty night, truth seekers. Time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Apparently we're having some streaming problems tonight, so if you know somebody who listens to this program online, call them and say it's okay. It's just that there is a streaming problem with... apparently with the massive server that the NovaM Radio Network uses. I'm getting emails from people who are suggesting that the reason the Democratic Party is caving the way it is because they're afraid of maybe the private assassins that Dick Cheney, the Praetorian Guard that he's established with Blackwater and organizations like that, or... because Democrats know Bush is literally insane and realize he's liable to do just about anything. I don't know. I don't think that would be the case. Either one of those. Although I guess remember when the shot was fired across the bow. Shortly after. The attack on this country, engineered by the Bush crime family, with the anthrax attack. So maybe there's some truth to it. All right, let's Annette is calling from, and I don't see it on the screen. Annette, welcome to the program. Is Annette there?
Yes, I'm there.
Hey, Annette, where are you calling from? I'm sorry, my bad.
It's okay, Chicago.
Chicago!
Yeah. I'm almost speechless after listening to you for so long. It's like, okay, everything I wanted to say, I think he just said. But, you know, actually this point you just made about them being afraid.
Uh-huh.
I have, first of all, they're afraid because they're wusses. Second of all, I wouldn't put it past Cheney or Bush, the crime family, to do something like this after you mentioned the anthrax thing. I would be afraid of these people myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm to the point now that I feel, as you were saying earlier, I don't think it's a question of is it going to happen? It's happened. And it's like now the question is, can we get our country back?
Mm-hmm.
And with the people we have representing us right now and the Democrats, the answer would be dead no.
Right.
I mean, I don't see any hope in that regard. I mean, where was there, weren't they supposed to have a no-confidence vote this week, too, on Gonzalez?
Yeah, yeah, they were. What happened to that?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Did they have that yesterday? Kathy, do you know? I don't know. I haven't seen anything about it.
I haven't heard a thing about it. And am I still there?
Yes, yes.
Oh, wait, sorry.
That's all right.
You know, and it's like, what's the point even of any of these freaking hearings?
Mm-hmm.
What is the point? What is happening? Nothing has changed. No one gets arrested. No one gets... What? I don't even understand what the point is. If there's not going to be...
Consequences.
Yes.
But Republicans, whether they're office holders or just normal, mainstream, insane Republicans, whether they're Christian conservative wackos or the other kind, they don't believe in consequences for themselves because they are guided, you see, in their minds by a much higher a set of standards, either their religious belief or their political belief. And that immunizes them from any sort of need for accountability. They don't have to be accountable at all.
I just can't fathom that thought process.
You can't what, Annette?
I can't fathom that thought process.
No, I can't either. That's because you and I are still relatively normal. But Republicans are not normal.
Is that their God? I mean, how could they even say they believe in Jesus?
Well, to some of them, their God is not some heavenly creation, but their God is Ronald Reagan. Or their God is, for most of them, their God is Ronald Reagan, frankly, the political ones, as though Ronald Reagan did something, anything,
right,
that warranted any kind of political approval at all.
Right. He set us down this path that we're on.
Satan?
I mean, the guy is like, he began all of this. He didn't believe in government. He wanted everything privatized.
Well, I don't know. Annette, I'm as frustrated and flummoxed as you are, and I don't know which way to turn. Listen, thanks for checking in, okay?
Thanks, Mike.
All right, I appreciate it. Take care. We'll talk again.
Bye.
It truly is insanity producing. Isn't it? I mean, we can sit here and talk about this, and that's certainly what I want to do, because as long as we're sitting here talking about it, we're not doing something irrational like going for the fourth box. You know, the four boxes for use in the defense of liberty. So as long as we're sitting here talking about it, I guess that's important. All right, we have a break here. We'll come back after the top of the hour and take your phone calls. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Nova M Radio Network. My name is Mike Malloy. Like I mentioned, we're having some internet streaming problems here, but you can, if you're listening via radio, you can also, well, then this would be irrelevant, wouldn't it? I was going to say you can pick us up at the, these various radio stations' websites where they stream us independently, but if you're listening by the radio, why would you listen by, never mind. God, I hate technology, don't you? Let's go to your phone calls. Let's start with Sanchez is calling from Montebello. Sanchez, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike. Yeah, hey. I'm one of the ones that was listening on stream here, so I was kind of flying blind for about a half hour.
What are you doing now to hear the program?
I was hearing it on hold. I called in, but I wanted to actually talk to you anyway, but so the timing was right. But, yeah, I'm flying blind out here in Montebello. I can't pick up anything. But why don't you go ahead and mention some of those radio stations that they can pick it up, because I want to hear the rest of the program.
Well, hold on just a minute here. Let me bring one up for you. The Quake in San Francisco has us that the best way is go to quakeradio.com.
Okay.
Q-U-A-K-E, quakeradio.com.
Okay. All right. Well,
and that should get you started.
All right. Well, thank you for that. I'll log on immediately to that. Number one, last night you missed a wonderful program. It raised my spirits. The talk that Sophia had about social engineering and standardized behavior, I was just going right on. So I got to say thank you to Jeff and Sophia for a wonderful program last night.
Okay, now wait a second. Who is Sophia? And excuse my ignorance.
Oh, okay. Sophia, she's a filmmaker that did a film about the 9/11 attacks, the collapse of the buildings, the World Trade Center. Part one was demolitions, and she's basically debunking the stories that are out there right now.
Uh-huh.
She then went on, because she's working on other endeavors, and she went on to say how people are being socially engineered and manipulated, and how we're all becoming so addicted to high-tech toys, and basically we're all being lined up like cattle, all being corralled into one corral. And this goes to the question you were asking a half hour before the stream collapsed, and I was hearing you, that Americans are basically behaving like the cattle. They're being herded into that one main gate, okay? And you say, what's next? The next door to open up is the door to the slaughterhouse. So that's where we're at. I'm sorry to say this. I've been in a nasty mood since Monday when I heard about the National Security Directive. You know all about that.
Right.
And then, you know, we heard from the Democrats and how man, they're behaving like cowards. The same thing that the right-wing media and the Republicans accuse them of being, they accuse them of being cowards. And how can you defend their actions any other way than how they behaved yesterday?
Yeah, that's true.
The analogy I'm using, it's a good one, and this is really why I wanted to get on to talk to you, is the Democratic Party are like the Washington Generals in the Harlem Globetrotters basketball game. You know, they're the ones that always lose.
Yeah, the designated clowns.
Yeah. And so no matter what they do, no matter how valiant they are, they're always going to lose. And the neocons, Bush, Karl Rove is the coach here. He's basically sending all these guys in. And, you know, they act the fools. They have the wonderful moves, all the slick maneuvers. And the crowd is just cheering, yay, yay, yay. But they don't understand that they're the cattle and they're being led into that corral. So,
but if you're correct, then that means that a mainstream Democrat like me, I'm just a total fool.
Well, no, you know better. That's
well, no, I continue to vote Democrat.
Well, what are you going to do about that?
Stop.
Yeah. I mean, look, if somebody, the only people that I trust really in the Democratic Party right now are like people like Barbara Lee or Dennis Kucinich or Maxine Waters to a lesser degree, but I still trust them. If they were to come out onto the front Capitol steps and say, we're forming a new Democratic Party, I'm there, dude. I am there.
What about Russ Feingold?
I think if Russ Feingold were in there, I would go with him. And you know one other person? Paul Hackett, the person that Harry Reid. Remember what? God, what a wimp, and this keeps happening to Harry Reid. He plays games like Charlie Brown and Lucy, where Lucy promises never to, like, pull the... Harry Reid is Charlie Brown, okay?
Yeah.
And remember what the games that they played, and they asked Paul Hackett not to run so that Harry Reid could play his little games, and in the end, Harry Reid and the Democrats got screwed in Ohio? Remember that?
I do indeed.
Okay, so that's what's happening. Time after time after time after time. And again, they're all the Washington Generals, and we're, you know, well, not necessarily you, but all the other people are in the stands going, rah, 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 Harlem Globetrotters. And I think we've only got about a year and a half before the cattle door closes and the next one comes up. And when Bush uses that national security directive, all hell's going to break loose.
I hear you. All right, Sanchez, thank you. I appreciate you checking in, okay?
Okay, man, you take care. I'll go log on the Quake.
All right.
All right.
All right. Thanks for the call. We got an email here from Donald in Augusta, Georgia. Can't read the whole thing, Donald, but here's part of it. Mike, let me make this observation. Until Democrats admit that Clinton and the DLC are major reasons why our democracy is in danger, he's talking about Bill Clinton, we will not make the real progressive changes this nation needs. I'm amazed at Hillary Clinton's leading in the polls. And then he lists some of the things that Bill Clinton did when he was in office. And then Don goes on and says, Gore did not go on full attack in 2000 because the DLC strategist told him not to antagonize the corporate elite. Kerry gave instructions not to attack Bush at the 2004 convention, again instructed by the same strategists. The one time the Democrats didn't listen to the DLC strategists was in 2006, and look what happened. They won. What Democrats still don't understand is that Republicans are in it to win, not to compromise. Witness Bush's obstinance on this war. Randy Rhodes told the Democrats at a hearing in 2003, they show up at a fight with a knife, the Republicans show up with guns. They go for the kill, we just want to win an argument. I have said this 100 times, and as each day goes by, it becomes more true. The little Hitler and the Nazi party he represents that are running this country now understand one thing, that we Americans are basically unthinking, unintelligent, violent, and uncaring. We talk a good game, but when it comes right down to it, we are the most hateful, selfish, violent, revengeful people on the planet. This is why we are in Iraq. It was all about the pound of flesh of some Arab, no matter who they are. And as usual, people who react emotionally usually get themselves in a whole lot of trouble. And then there's more here from Donald in Augusta. Thanks, Donald. And Donald knows how I edited the part that I did read. But thanks for saying it, Donald. I pretty much agree with most of what Donald said. I don't know that the American people are uncaring. I know we're politically ignorant. I know all Republicans, what he describes there is all Republicans, there's no question about that. He left off the word hypocrisy, or hypocrites. But I think they're, the majority of the people in this country, I still believe, are dedicated to the idea that, you know, the founders had it partly right when they established this country, and over 230 years, we've corrected some of the obvious wrongs that they put in that original documents. And that we were heading in the right direction, certainly not there. I think most Americans feel that way. And I think most Americans still believe in the idea of justice and truth and legality and doing the right thing and all that stuff your mama and your grandmother tried to teach you. Okay, maybe your daddies and your grandfathers too, but you know what I'm saying. But somehow, through the evil magic of mass media, we really have been led into a box. I don't disagree with that. Getting ready for the slaughterhouse, as our last caller said. I don't disagree with that. We've been led into some kind of a hall of mirrors, and it's maddening. I don't know how we get out. I swear to God, I'm just so losing faith in my Democratic Party. Though, aren't you? Come on, you know you aren't.
Gaze at your daughters and gaze at your to them.
Don't go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you on Nova M Radio.
Lord, let go. 21 past the hour. Back to your phone calls. Bob the Poet is calling from Tennessee. Bob, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Good evening, Mike. That damn donkey kicked us in the groin again, didn't it?
Man, it hurts.
It hurts. It sure does. Well, you know, I've since Johnson lied and bombed Vietnam, the Democans and the Republicrats, too hard to keep apart. Good cop, bad cop. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said the Democrats and Republicans, the difference is that the Democrats are individual crooks. And the Republicans are class crooks.
Oh, God. But see, if I believe that, if I start subscribing really in my heart, I mean, I bitch and complain, but I tell you what, Bob, if I start believing in my heart that the Democratic Party really is as corrupt as a lot of people, I guess, are aware that it is, I feel like the last person in America who still believes in my Democratic Party. But if I start believing what is probably the truth, then, you know, I'm kind of lost because I have relied on Democrats my entire adult life to provide me with hope for the future, political hope, financial hope, hope that someday they would figure out a way to stop war and stop building nuclear weapons and stop polluting the environment. So if I accept what is more and more appearing to be the inevitable, Bob, I'm screwed. I don't have anyone to put in their place.
Yeah, well, I understand. You know, I told my friend, you know, the difference really is that when the people get upset, the Republicans say, get a big stick and beat them down, and the Democrats say, give them a half a loaf of bread. I guess if we, 500,000 of us or something, join the Green Party tomorrow, that might shake them up a little.
It might.
But, you know, go back to Clinton on welfare, Congress with the bankruptcy bill, failure to filibuster Roberts and Alito.
Sure.
The Democrats have just dropped their pants. It's
well,
over.
Yeah, right. You know? And we don't get any savings stamps after doing that either.
Yeah, well, you know, I feel like now that the vampires are fearing AIDS, Camelot's brass arches aren't worth the monkeys they're made of.
Oh, wow.
The priest and the preacher are playing ball on cycles. But yeah. The most popular triceratops in right field, in Winnetka, is left lusting after love. So, Mike, you got to splash words in the faces of the somnambulists, drown the wishy-washy in truth serum, flog the pretenders with mirrors, and smoke out the shakers and movers. Money is a snorting tube $100 long.
Yeah, right.
Credit belongs to a dead age before reality was born. Me Hiram says seawater has polluted the ocean, and Hornblower has gone hunting for little boy blue eyes. Crawl into this haystack bomb shelter.
Yeah,
it's clean. The rats have all moved inside the beltway. Bet you haven't read the bile since the Sabbath. Go on now. Look with your eye teeth at your tender years.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bob, you should have read that in or recited that at Sunday night at the Green Mill in Chicago during the famous, I guess they're still going on, the famous poetry slams. That's good stuff. Thanks, Bob. Thanks for checking in, okay?
Keep it up, Mike.
All right, man.
We got to keep together.
I hear you. I hear you. Appreciate it, Bob. Take care. Take care. Yeah, he probably would have won on any given night. That's good stuff, Bob. Appreciate it. Sheldon is calling from Oakland, California. Hey, Sheldon, welcome to the program.
Oh, Mike, I finally got you after all these months.
Yes, you did.
I do admire you, and don't have a stroke over the American people. They're not worth it.
Oh, please. You and I are the American people.
Well, but don't forget, half the American people are a bunch of what I call rectum heads, dummies, bigots.
Yeah.
They believe in some kind of fairy tale Bible study. You know, that's their right. But I still believe, all in all, I'm going to vote Democratic. I hope they don't put up Hillary. I'm voting, I hope they put up either Edwards or Richardson, or I would love Al Gore to jump in.
Well, that's I think that's what a lot of us are hoping for, too.
Obama will never get it at this time because his life is being threatened left and right. And Hillary, if they put her up, I'll vote for her, but I'll hold my nose. But I firmly believe this country, we are our own worst enemy. I'm not telling you nothing new. And I believe we're going to implode from within.
Well, Sheldon, listen, I got to break your thanks, Sheldon. I appreciate it. I hope that's not the case, but more and more, it's starting to look just like that. We'll be right back, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy.
This is no time for political speech. This is a time for action. Because the future's within reach. This is the time.
And your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Twenty-six before the hour. All right, let's go back to your phone calls. Merrill is calling from Miami. Merrill, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
I was wondering what you thought about, you know, in light of the prior discussion about the Democrats, you know, like backing, you know, going backwards, giving in, what you thought about Jimmy Carter and, you know, like his two steps backward after he said that about Bush and Bush's administration.
I don't know. Carter is one of those people who just gets slapped around for telling the truth, whether it is in a book about the horror of the Israeli-Palestinian mutual destruction society or the utter incompetency of this corrupt president we have now. See, Carter is an evangelical Christian. He is. He's the only one we've ever had in the White House who was truly, in modern times, who was truly an evangelical Christian. But the problem is as far as other evangelical neo-fascists are concerned, is that Jimmy Carter never used his religion to beat people into order.
Right.
He used his religion as a form of personal guidance for himself and his family, and for that reason. Other so-called evangelicals used to hate him because Carter lived the Christian faith. He didn't just parrot it. He lived it, and he still lives it. He's a peacemaker. He's humble. He set up the Carter Institute here in Atlanta to try to broker peace between factions in different countries who would have none of it, who only wanted to kill and loot and rape and murder and destroy. And Carter builds houses with Habitat for Humanity. So, because of all that, every time Carter opens his mouth to speak the truth, he's immediately attacked. Now, Carter is getting up there in years. He really is. I don't know what his attitude is about his mortality or his immortality. Being an evangelical Christian, being a true believer in the Christian faith, I know he feels that there is an afterlife waiting for him that'll be what has been promised to him since he's been a child. But I think also this, that once Carter realizes what he has said has caused somebody some discomfort, he's very quick to try to assuage that discomfort because he's a decent man. I don't think it's because he's a backpedaler or a flip-flopper or whatever the hell the current term is. I think he, if he says something that offends his friends in Israel, he will try to correct it. If he says something to a friend to offend his friends in Arab-speaking states, he'll try to correct it. If he says something that offends this filthy, degenerate man in the White House now, he'll say something to try to ameliorate it, or if not correct it, certainly lessen it a bit. So that's a long, wordy answer to your question, and I apologize, Merle, but that's the best I can do.
No, that was a great answer.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for checking in.
Okay, Mike, take care.
All right, take care.
Bye.
No, I really do believe that Jimmy Carter is a decent man. He wasn't responsible for the gas problems in the 70s. That was any problem that there has been regarding the oil industry has been a problem generated strictly, specifically, and solely by the energy industry itself. Every single so-called problem, whether it's overproduction, underproduction, I don't care what it is, this has been going on for over 100 years, and it's not going to stop until finally this planet vomits up its last bit of oil and these pig bastards have to figure out some other way to run the internet and air condition our houses and keep our cars going. That's assuming that there's any of that going to be left. It's a resource that eventually we'll run out of. It may be 10 years, it may be 10,000. It certainly is not an infinite source. But any problem that has ever come as a result of the use or misuse of oil or natural gas has come because the oil or natural gas industry wanted it that way. That's how powerful they are. Carter happened to be in office when the oil industry decided, screw this $7 a barrel for oil. This is insane. And so the market was manipulated, and the countries, the oil-producing countries, were manipulated into withholding, into the so-called OPEC, the oil strike, withholding, whatever the hell it was back in the 70s. As far as the Iranian hostages, that was something that was engineered by an out-of-control CIA run by William, whatever the hell his name was. Who was that guy, Kathy? Yeah, William Casey. It was the great game was going on then between the United States and the Soviet Union. Plus, there was the fact that the Shah of Iran, who developed cancer after being put in office by the U.S. government, after the legitimate government of Iran was overthrown in 1953, plus the oil, yada, yada, yada. You see how this works? So the American hostage situation in Tehran in 1979 was the work of the oil companies and the CIA and the Republicans. Carter had nothing to do with it. Carter was not about to invade the country to free the hostages. He knew that the hostages eventually would be freed, even though the Iranians had good reason to cut all of their heads off. These were Americans, and the Americans had come into their country 24 years prior to that and overthrown their government. But they didn't cut their heads off. They responded to what the CIA told them to do and held on to the hostages until such time as this degenerate movie star, actor, FBI, and former Democrat pig Republican Ronald Reagan took office. And then they were released. Jimmy Carter was kind of a victim of history. And everything about Carter speaks of peacemaker. Everything about Carter speaks of the Sermon on the Mount that these fake, degenerate, lying, filthy Christians love to throw at the rest of us. Carter not only walks the walk, he talks the talk, he walks the walk. He's devoted his life as best he can, because he understands he's just a human being. Yeah, he was a nuclear sub guy. Yeah, he was a nuclear engineer. Yeah, he was involved in a game that could have destroyed the entire planet. But he was also someone who believed in his faith, who believed in a message. And I think Carter is the only president in the history of the United States and Israel and the Arab-speaking world. He is the only president in this long, murderous, bloody, disgusting history ever to broker a real peace deal between the Israelis and any Arab-speaking country. Carter. So of course the Republicans hate him. Of course they try to cut him up into pieces. Of course Democrats shy away from him. He's a good and decent and honest and legitimate man. And yeah, even though I'm an atheist, I respect Jimmy Carter because he lived his religious beliefs. He lived them. He wasn't like these pig bastards like Falwell and Robertson and all the rest of them. Carter never did that. He lived it. Every time some piece of human waste like Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh or any of these pigs condescend to or denigrate or speak in the way only they can speak about Carter, it just makes me furious. I'm still answering the question. I'm sorry. Back to your calls. Deborah is calling from Phoenix. Deborah, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
You know, I do agree with what you said about Carter. I admire him, too. But I really wish he hadn't qualified his initial comment.
I understand.
I understand what you're saying, and you're right. But that's not why I called. Right. I called because right after the 2006 victory, when the Democrats started working on their non-binding resolution, I just had this overwhelming sense of what I think is going to happen. I think the Republicans are going to swoop in and convince Bush to change something that he's doing or come up pass legislation, and they're going to come off looking like the heroes.
Hey, Deborah, can you hold on?
Sure.
Okay, hold on. Let me do this break, and we'll come back and finish this up. This is Nova M. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
No, I can't vote in, not for the iron fist, but for the helping hand. For this is a land with a wall around it, and mine is a fight, my fellow man. This is a land of factory floor. There's other skies all dark with bombers, and mine is the peace we know between the wars.
The Democrat approach comes down to this: the terrorists win and America loses.
You evil little pig. 10 before the hour, before we go back to Deborah, thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program tonight and answered your calls. Also thanks to Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, Catherine Bay, who is our executive producer. Back to Deborah, who has called in from Phoenix. All right, Deborah, where were we?
Hi, Mike. Well, I was making the point that I just got the sense a while ago that the Republicans were going to find a way to come off looking like the heroes, and the Democrats are going to left standing with their finger up their noses wondering what happened. I don't think the Democrats truly understand a mind like Karl Rove or Dick Cheney, and they think they're going to outmaneuver them, but I just don't think they are. I agree with Jeff. He's always saying they should just stand up and vote for what they believe as individuals.
Yeah.
I think I think the truth is right now is going to be more powerful than trying to outmaneuver the Republicans. Mm-hmm. And strategically, the Democrats don't see the forest for the trees. You know, for example, I was reading something about this bill, and if the Democrats think that raising the minimum wage justifies funding the war, you know, like they're trying to play it safe, it's like you're talking apples to oranges.
I know, I know. And
I mean, so, how can they rationalize it that way?
So what's an answer? I have no answers. Do you have any, Deborah?
Well, if we truly believe that the truth is powerful,
right.
You know, they're so obsessed with being part of this group. That's the strategy that the Republicans use, and I don't think we can beat. You know, if they just stand up, and I think they'll find they do have a group, if they will just vote their hearts and vote what they know that they stand for.
But what you're suggesting is that the Democrats then show individual courage.
Yes, like Kucinich is doing.
That's what?
Well, look at Dennis Kucinich.
Well, that's true. But is Kucinich not a complete exception to the rule? Well, not a complete exception, but he is one of the exceptions to the rules that seem to prevail with politicians. He seems to be, certainly does to me. So.
Oh, I know. And I just don't understand what they are so afraid of. I mean, if they would just vote their heart,
vote the way they think. Yeah, I wish they would too. I really do, and that makes perfect sense. Just to vote by vote their heart. I'm sure you mean vote what they know is right.
Yeah, right. And another little point about the Democratic Party. I'm a registered independent, and I think some Democrats maybe should become registered independents, and that way neither party knows how we're going to vote.
That's probably a good idea.
Have to convince us.
Yeah. All right, Deborah, thanks. I'm glad you called in. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye.
Take care. Kurt is calling from North Dakota. Hey, Kurt.
Hey. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm a first-time caller, so just kind of bear with me here. But the reason I called, Mike, is that I just wanted to remind you and your listeners that there is a really good movie on, and I believe you mentioned it once before, but it hasn't been on now for quite a while. And it's a movie that's called The Battle of Algiers.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it. I think a lot of people have seen it. It's a phenomenal movie.
Yes, it is.
Should be required viewing.
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more on that.
Want to know something odd about it. Most people on a command level, not most people, but a certain number of command level U.S. military officers, it is, I don't know if it's required, but it's recommended that they watch this, too.
Oh, is that right?
That's right. I don't know where I got that from, but I got it from a very reliable source.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm just going to tell you and your audience that it's on Sunday night. Well, it would actually be Monday morning, but it starts at 2 a.m. Eastern time, so it would be 1 o'clock here, like in the central time zone. But I thought I'd call just to let you know. And you got a big fan up here in North Dakota.
Well,
I listen
thanks,
to
Kurt.
You.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I do appreciate it, and I hope you call it again. Okay.
You bet. I sure will. Thank
All right.
you.
All right, sir. Take care. Wayne is calling from Oceanside, California. Hey, Wayne.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I thought I'd call you and let you know what happened after you suggested that I switch from the Republican Party and become a Democrat. That's exactly what I did.
I suggested that to you?
Yeah, it was several months back before the November election.
I had a civil conversation with you?
Oh, you did, because I
oh
was
my God.
Telling you that how frustrated I was.
Oh,
and
I see.
Quite frankly, yeah. I intend to stay a Democrat the rest of my life. And I worked in a political campaign here for the Congress of the United States. I was the chief finance chairman for a candidate for Congress, and unfortunately we didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a 2-1 a Republican district against the Democrats, but
right.
I feel really good about what I did, and like I say, I plan to stay a Democrat the rest of my life. And I think one of the problems that we're having in the Democratic Party right now, and I've done an awful lot of research into this, we need to get progressive, against-the-war Democrats into the Congress of the United States. There's about 15 Democrats that didn't get elected by a 3% margin.
Mm-hmm.
If we had those 15 Democrats in Congress, we would have had a different story by now.
It's very strange to hear you talking, Wayne. If you were a former Republican and you've only switched over in the past few months, you've really come a long way from...
I woke up, Mike. I woke up and, you know, what was left for me in that party? Tell me, what was left there?
And you know what's driving me crazy?
Habeas corpus?
But what's driving me crazy is I'm starting to feel that way about the Democratic Party.
Well, don't give up.
As a matter of fact,
parties are messed up.
You know, it is Wednesday night. Wayne, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. I hope you check in again.
I will.
All right, take care. It is Wednesday night, and when I was a kid growing up on Wednesday nights, it would be prayer meeting night, and my grandmother used to take me to prayer meeting. And for some reason, Wayne's call reminded me on Wednesday night how at some point in the service, there'd be the call to the altar to come down and get not the blessing of the preacher, but, you know, the laying on of hands and words of comfort. And for some reason, Wayne just reminded me of that. I'll be damned. I don't know. Thanks for participating in the program tonight. However you did that, Roger Waters rules. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.